And not to disparage Ian, I mean, you know, I don't know if you've ever worked in a cafeteria or not. You know, I think you're a defense contractor, but and not to disparage any cafeteria workers either. But, you know, here is your man, Stephen, and God is using him. And lives are being transformed. You know, when someone gets healed by the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ, it not only heals their body, generally they will say, wow, I need more of this in my life. I think I'm going to follow Christ. And so people were being saved. People were being, you know, filled with the Holy Spirit. Their lives were being changed. Their mind was being renewed. And there was this air of excitement and electricity in the church. Man, we are really going to do this. Guys, it's real. It's real. It's happening in front of our eyes. It's happening by our own hands. And then, suddenly, you see in verse 9 this little four-letter word. Actually, I just said it. T-H-E-N. Then. That's a big word. Everybody say then. Then. Man, I hate when then happens in my life. Don't you guys hate when then happens? Man, things are going good. Man, you can't believe it. You're like, wow, man, what did I do right? Man, God is blessing me. I can't believe this. I'm almost, you know, I don't even know what's coming down next. It's been so good. Who knows what tomorrow is going to bring? And suddenly, then happens. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Then. Don't you hate then? Just when you are at the pinnacle of excitement. And you just think, man, my life is so going so good, nothing can stop me now. I went to a coffee house down in, what do they call that? It's right on the border of Maryland and Delaware towards Salisbury. Delmar thing. I always get Maryell and Delmar mixed up. Delmar, they used to have a coffee house down there called the Narrow Way Cafe. Any of you guys been down there? I know some older Christians here. Tom? Okay. They used to have all these cool Christian rock bands come down there, and they even had some national bands after a while. And I'm going to show my age here. There was a band called Hoi Polloi. How many guys have ever heard of Hoi Polloi? Okay, some of those older guys, yeah. Oh, Rachel. Wow. Don't lie in church, girl. They were sort of an alternative rock kind of a group. They almost sound a little bit like U2, but they had a woman singer. And she was testifying at this coffee house. She said, you know, I remember this song she was about to sing. I wrote this song because one year in my life, everything was going so good. It was just amazing. You know, I graduated from this thing. I had this honor. I made this achievement. I completed this program. And I was flying high, and everything was going terrific. And then suddenly my father died. And she said it took the rug right from under her feet. It shook her so bad. It just collapsed her. Everything was going wonderful, and she just thought the future was just incredible. And suddenly, this man whom she loved more than life, who was just such a figure in her life, God took him home. Then her father died. And we see this amazing excitement. We see this electrifying work of God going on. The kingdom of God advancing like no beyond anybody's imagination. Verse 9 comes along. Then. Then there arose some from what is called the synagogue of the free men. Suddenly some men came into the picture that weren't really excited about what was going on at all. And they began disputing with Stephen and arguing with him. Some of these were probably, we said last week, some of these were probably his old buds, because that was a synagogue of Hellenists. That was probably the synagogue Stephen came out of when he got saved. So these are some of his old friends, his old buddies saying, man, what are you, crazy? Are you stupid? What kind of nonsense, what kind of heresy are you preaching here? Don't you realize this is blasphemy? And we said there was even a guy there, a young man named Saul of Tarsus. And so they started arguing with Stephen. Now at that point, things hadn't gotten all that bad. In fact, it says here that they couldn't resist the wisdom and the spirit that Stephen spoke with. They started arguing with him, and he started debating circles around them. And people probably didn't even see what was coming. They probably had no clue what was coming down the road. They're like, man, look at Stephen go. You got the most brilliant man in the country here in Jerusalem. And they're arguing with this guy, and he's just eating them alive. He is handing them their head. You go, Stephen. They were probably just, you know, up in the stands going, yeah, buddy, you tell him, man, that's right. And so the excitement was probably even getting amplified. They didn't even realize what was taking place in front of their eyes or what was coming right around the corner. And here's Stephen just debating with them and beating them into the ground with his wisdom and the power and the Holy Spirit. The future, I mean, people said, man, the future is looking so bright, I need to wear shades, man. It's just, we are going places now. But you know, there's an old saying, and I don't mean to disparage any of the young people here, but there is an old saying that says, youth and zeal is no match for old age and treachery. What do you think about that? Youth and zeal is no match for old age and treachery. And not to disparage youth or zeal. We praise God for both of those. But our enemy has been around a long time. And he is subtle. And he knows very well what he's doing. And he knows how to use our youth and our zeal against us. And he works in ways that we often think are way out of bounds. You know, that's the problem with fighting a spiritual battle. We need to fight with the weapons God has given us. It's not really a problem, but it seems to our flesh a problem sometimes. But the enemy often goes way out of bounds. We don't, if you just look at the military. It is absolutely unthinkable for us to purposely target civilians in a military conflict. That is just, that's nothing but murder. That's not war, that's murder. That's cold-blooded, heartless, brutal, vicious murder. And so the enemy says, ha. Huh. That's their weakness. They don't have the guts for it. I have no problem with blowing up women and children. I have no problem with killing civilians because they're infidels anyway. They're the enemy anyway. That's the spirit that's the satanic spirit that dwells in the world that says nothing is out of bounds. Sure, I'll lie to disparage their credibility. They're looking pretty good. I need to take them down. Sure, I'll go ahead and make up some lies about them. They're welcome to prove them wrong. Go ahead, bring your evidence. And our enemy has been around a long time. And even though we know that man is corrupt, an unsaved person is corrupt, we're still shocked when we see it. When we see people doing things that are out of bounds, it still rocks our world a little bit. And when you see, right in the midst of this electrifying success story, you see these guys who tried to debate with Stephen, and they had their head handed to them. What do they resort to? These disputers, these guardians of the law, these people who lived for the law of Moses. They ate and drank and breathed and walked and lived this system of legal requirements. These guardians of the law who have given themselves to uphold the law violate the very thing they're defending, and they lie and hire men to lie about Stephen. All right, there's 600 and some commandments in the Old Testament under the law of Moses. But you don't have to be a Old Testament professor to know the Ten Commandments. How many people know what the Ninth Commandment says? Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not bear false witness. That's basic. I mean, that's, you know, our little kids learned that in children's church. And here are these professors of the law, these lawyers and scribes who translate and who copy meticulously the documents of the law, who have given their very lives and to live and uphold the law. And what do? Break the law. They lie. They go out of bounds in order to crush Stephen and to crush this thing that's happening, this move of God that they think is from the pit. And these false witnesses come, and they basically say that Stephen has blasphemed. He's committed blasphemy in four different ways. They say that he blasphemed God, He blasphemed Moses, he blasphemed the temple, and he blasphemed the law. These are very serious charges. They're not just simply trying to discredit him. They want him dead. You could die for that kind of stuff. You blaspheme God, in the Old Testament, they stone you to death. And they're saying he has done things worthy of death. And so they arrest him. They come, they seize him. They haul him away and they take him before the council. Then some men arose. And the next thing you know, Stephen is standing before the council. Now, at this point, I don't think the people still get it. I don't think they realize what's about to happen. Because, you know, the apostles went before the Sanhedrin before. And the Sanhedrin hollered at them and beat them. And what happened? They let him go. They let him live. In fact, they did it twice. They brought Peter up there once and let him go. The second time, they brought Peter and some of the other guys in there and beat on him a little bit and then let him go. And here's Stephen. Stephen works miracles just like the apostles. Here's Stephen. He's brilliant just like the apostles. No one can even resist his wisdom. And so they're probably thinking, oh, there goes Stephen, boy. He's going to show that Sanhedrin a thing or two. Yeah, just wait till he gets in front of the council. Man, he is going to make mincemeat out of them. He is going to chew them up and spit them out, man, and then watch the kingdom of God move. They had no clue. And so Stephen comes before the council and he gives a defense. He takes up all of chapter 7. And no, I am not going to read the entire chapter 7. Good grief. But I want to touch on a couple things. I just want to take a few things out of there real quick. They said they leveled four charges against Stephen. They said he blasphemed what? God? Who else? Moses? What else? Temple? What else? Awesome. Man, you guys rock, man. Wow. And so Stephen actually, in his brilliant defense, he gives a beautiful defense. He actually addresses those very four things. And in fact, he not only defends himself about it, he actually turns the tables on them. He is very brilliant. He shows that these very things that they think they are upholding, they are the very ones who violate them. Number one, real quick. They said, you blaspheme God. He says, you want to talk about God? Let's talk about God. And he says, the very first Israelites, the patriarchs, the ones that the tribes were named after, they hated their brother Joseph because God had given them a vision of what he was going to do with them. And they were so jealous, so envious of Joseph, that they faked his death and they sold him into slavery in Egypt. You think these guys were jealous of Stephen? There were probably at that point 25,000 believers in the city of Jerusalem. The kingdom of God was exploding in that place. And here's Stephen, cafeteria dude, running circles around them in debate and displaying acts of miraculous power. I think they were a little bit jealous, don't you? And he says, you know what? The very patriarchs of Israel were jealous of Joseph, so they persecuted him, they sold him into slavery, and then he makes a really cool statement. He says, but God was with him. God was with him. What does that imply? You can haul me before the council, you can persecute me, you can lay all kinds of charges against me. That means nothing because God is with me. You think I blaspheme God? God is the one who is empowering all this stuff to happen. I didn't heal these people by my own power. This is not my wisdom. This is the power of God. You want to talk about God? God is right in front of you. But just like the guys before you, you're jealous and you're persecuting the very ones God is using. He said, had enough yet? Let's talk about Moses. You said I blasphemed Moses. You think I'm an enemy of Moses. Let's talk about Moses. When Moses was a ruler in Egypt, he saw an Egyptian beating up on some Hebrew guy. And what did he do? He killed the Egyptian. And Stephen said he thought the people would understand that God had raised him up to be a ruler and a deliverer to Israel. And so the next day he goes and he sees two Israelites fighting with each other. And he tries to settle the dispute, tries to break it up. And they said to him, anybody guess? What are you going to do, kill us too? Who made you? a ruler and a deliverer. Who died and made you king? You're going to kill us too? And the next thing you know, Moses had to flee for his life.